St. John chapter 17, verse 17 through 21. Sanctify them through thy truth. This is Jesus praying. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus said in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to us for a little while tonight on the thought, scriptural standards of sanctification. In Jesus' plea, in His request, in His prayer, that we be sanctified as He was sanctified. We become one as Him and the Father is one. There's our edge in this warfare that we're in.
Right.
If we can come to that place of sanctification, the total man sanctified, that means his thoughts, his ideas, his opinions, and on his walk, his lifestyle, all of that, we've got an edge on the warfare that we fight. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers in high places. There's something about the genuine biblical, scriptural work of sanctification that equips the child of God to live a victorious life. Jesus never faced defeat while upon this earth. He never entertained the idea of giving up. He never entertained the idea of being slowed down, but He's continually pressing forward to do the Father's will. Didn't matter what come against Him. They raised up stones to stone Him. But He said, I've got a mission. They tried to make a king out of Him early. He said, no, sir, I've got a mission. The Father's plan was foremost in His sanctified mind. The Father's plan was foremost in His sanctified thinking. And He asked the Lord, He asked the Father to sanctify them through that truth. Them, the disciples. But not just them. We saw that He mentioned not just for them alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That's me.
Yeah.
And that's you that has believed on Him through the gospel, through the preaching, through the ministry of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now what is sanctification? Defined from the Greek word there, it means to make holy, purify or consecrate, to hallow, to be holy. Sanctification is the act of making holy. The act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love to God. Sanctified. Now, somebody thought it was just learning how to dress right. That ain't near the depth of what sanctification is. You ought to learn how to dress right when you got saved. And becoming a new creature teaches you how you ought to dress. Well, what does sanctification do? It does exactly what it's defined to do. It makes you holy. It purifies you, sets you apart for service. Your affections are purified. Your desires, your wants.
Come on.
Jesus praying said, sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is thy truth. I'm a believer in the word of God. I'm a believer that there's nothing can fix our problems better than the word of God. 45 minutes of amen, glory to God won't fix it like 15 minutes of the word of God will. Y'all help me shout right now. Praise the Lord. 45 minutes of singing my favorite song. Amen. Can make me feel good. It can encourage me. But it can't fix it like the good word of God can fix it. There's power in the word of God. And he said, this is what I want you to sanctify them through, Father. I want you to set them apart through thy word. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, Jesus left that city of Jerusalem that was destined to be destroyed. Some years later, it was destroyed by Titus and his renegades. He left that city that was destined to be destroyed, died on the outside of the town, that he might sanctify us by his blood. And faith through that blood, or in that blood tonight, we can be sanctified and set apart. And praise God Almighty, we can be mighty warriors for the kingdom of God, because there's nothing like God's kingdom, and there's nothing like God's people when they've been set apart by his word through faith in his blood. When does that happen, Brother Morgan? It happens when you believe it. The same faith that brought me to salvation will bring me to sanctification. Same faith that brought me to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost brings me to sanctification. And I'm sanctified. I believe it's a definite work of grace. Some believe it's progressive. I progressively believe it's definitely. And I believe that it's a work that God does through faith in His blood. And I do grow in the grace of God as I put more of the Word of God in me. I'm sanctified by His truth. Our text goes on. He said, for their sakes I sanctify myself. And it's not just something I'm doing for myself, Jesus is saying. I'm doing it for them, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Not just them, as I've already said, but all of us, generations later, sanctified by that truth, by that word. That they all may be one. You want to find out if your church, if your congregation is sanctified, see how together they are. You want to find out if we got a sanctified church, let's see if we got a unified church. Because if we're not in unity, sorry, it doesn't mean a thing that we call ourselves sanctified. It doesn't mean a thing if we call ourselves holy. If we're not in unity, we are not sanctified. Sanctify them that they may be one. That's a part of the purpose of sanctification. And thou, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This world needs to know that Jesus was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a good man. He is the omnipotent Son of the living God. They won't read that Bible and believe that. They've got to see it in action. They've got to see the proof of it in our sanctified lives. Now, I said scriptural standards for sanctification. So let me define standard now. Y'all ever heard the word standard? Y'all got a good standard. Anybody ever come up in here and told you that? Y'all smile at me. This means yeah. This means I don't know, and this means no. Now, has anybody ever come in here and told you that? And that's good. I praise the Lord for that. Because had they come in here and said, man, y'all standards lacking, ooh, it'd been bad news. Standard. So often in days of late, or what we've noticed of days of late, that the word standard gets minimized to our belief system of what we do or don't do. Again, as sanctification is more than just the shallowness of how we look, the standard is deeper than how we look. What a standard is defined is an ensign of war. It is a staff with a flag or colors. The troops repair to their standard when they're fighting and they seemingly lose their way. They spy that flag. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? You remember the words of the Star-Spangled Banner? I don't. Amen. But you remember that the fellow that wrote that song said, oh, even though the smoke and all of that was there, every now and then he saw that the flag was still there. What he's saying was, America, the flag was raised for my country. And I could tell it was still there. That meant that ship hadn't went down. That meant that nation hadn't been defeated. That meant that we still had the victory. Flag. That which is established by sovereign power as a rule or measure by which others are to be adjusted. We don't set the standard. God has already set the standard. So I recall when somebody says, you've got a good standard, I'm thinking, I didn't start the standard. And I started it, it'd be fallacy. And I started it to have holes in it. And I started it to be weak. But God's the one that instituted it. God put it together. God made that standard. Standard. The children of Israel in Numbers 2 and 34 get a better understanding of standard. They did according to all that the Lord God commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards. And so they set forward everyone after their families according to the house of their fathers. That standard identified which tribe was living where. And the standard that we hold identifies where we're living. Israel there, their each separate tribe probably bore the name on their standard. But now we want to speak for a little bit on scriptural standards of sanctification. What the Bible sets forth as a standard to measure by to see if we are sanctified. And this is not exhaustible by far tonight, but we're going to start with number one, love. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, Jesus said unto them, he was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The scripture has set the standard. Am I sanctified? Am I sanctified? What Jesus prayed for was for us to have what He had. He said, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified. He says to us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of the seat of our emotions, all our soul, with all of our strength, with everything that is inside of us to love the Lord with all of that. Then he said, reach out of yourself and begin to love your neighbor. It might not be the person on the block with you. It might be the stranger that you wouldn't really want to get very close to because of how they smell or how they act or how they behave. But he said to love thy neighbor as yourself. That gets pretty deep tonight to know I've got to love somebody else more than I love myself. But I believe I'll take sanctification. I believe I'll let God do that work in my life. I believe I'll strive for that. I believe I'll push myself by on the side when I need to. I believe I'll humble myself unto the Word of God. I believe I'll let the Word of God sanctify me wholly. Bless the Lord. And the Lord make you to increase. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound, listen real close, and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. The beginning of being established unblameable in holiness, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians that we increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Scriptural standard of sanctification. Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. I believe He's coming.
Yes.
Sanctify me.
Yes.
Lord, sanctify my thinking. Sanctify my passions. Sanctify my wants. Sanctify my desires. Sanctify my reactions.
Yes, Lord.
Sanctify my reactions. How did we react the last time we were wrong? How did we react the last time we were troubled by something or somebody? God, sanctify my reactions. Next is separate and clean living. Scriptural standards of sanctification. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 14, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Scriptural standard for sanctification calls for separation. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Paul continues, even in chapter 7, in verse number 1, having therefore these promises, promise that God would be our Father, we would be His children, when we're sanctified and we're set apart, and we do not yoke up with unbelievers. What is yoking up? Coming together in union with them. Being in marriage, being in business, being in whatever brings you together in a yoke. Now when I sat down with the sinner to eat a meal, to reach out to his soul, to he am saved, I'm not yoking up with him. I'm being a friend to the sinner as Jesus was friends to sinners. But Jesus never joined their club. He never joined in business affairs with them. He never advocated marriage with them. Oh, we'll marry them and we'll get them straightened out. You won't do it. It's against Scripture. It's against God's plan. If something good comes out of it, it's because God is merciful. And you reap the good end of His mercy. It's not because you was pleasing the Lord.
Right.
Not unequally yoked, and with this promise, having these promises. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Waiting for God to do it. I'll do this when God convicts me. No. He said, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Every part of you.
Amen.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
Scripture sets the standard.
Right. Yes.
Scripture sets the standard. The standard being set by our disposition. Disposition meaning inclination or the temper or frame of mind. How often, Brother Eugene, I've heard people talk about, well, that's just my disposition. I'd be ashamed to broadcast it if I had a disposition like some folks will brag about.
Right.
Well, you just got to understand that's just the way I am. Why don't you get sanctified?
Right.
And get that disposition changed and made holy.
Yes.
There is a scriptural standard for that. In Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul said to the Philippians, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He said, I pray that you'll go beyond the ignorant state that you've been in. I pray that you'll go beyond the state of duh that you've been thinking in. I pray that you wise up. Come on. As somebody says, stop and smell the roses.
Come on.
Get alive. Get a hold of this. Get your head out of the clouds and come down to where we're at and figure these things out. He said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Sanctify your thinking. Sanctify your aspirations, your inclinations, your disposition. Oh, hallelujah. He's a great man. But oh, if he just had a better disposition, he would be a great man if he would. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in the house, but I don't want to be crude right here, but I hope I am.
Come on, brother.
What are you talking about? I hope you are. If I'm not, then I'm wasting my breath.
Come on.
If I'm not talking to somebody in the house, church down the road can't hear what I'm saying.
Right. Come on.
God, sanctify my disposition. What's so sweet is to see somebody. And we knew a saint of God where we used to go to church years. As you get older, you talk like this years and years ago. Praise the Lord. And Sister Bessie Hospice, y'all didn't know her. Sister Morgan knows what I'm talking about. She had the sweetest disposition.
Praise God.
And brothers and sisters, when Sister Bessie, in her frail body that had been riddled by stroke and health issues, when she'd stand up in that pew, all bent over and hardly could get up, but when she stood up to testify, ears begin to open up, and heads begin to turn toward her, and folks begin to listen to her. It didn't matter one Sunday night. She talked for 30 minutes testifying and telling things that God had done in her life. We sat there and enjoyed it. We glorified God with her because that disposition had been sanctified by the blood of Christ. It had been sanctified by the truth of God's Word. That disposition has going to go a long way when I'm out there in that world and I'm trying to lead somebody to Christ. It's going to go a long way when I invite somebody to church and they look back at me and say, man, I believe I'd like to go where they go. They've got the sweetest, the saintliest, the godliest disposition. vision I've ever seen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. You ever seen such a beautiful sight as a fruit basket that spared no finances to fix it up, and it's got a little bit of all of it on it? Got the bananas, the oranges, big clusters of grapes, got a lemon throwed in there, and this list goes on and on and on, and it got that ribbon on top of it, and it's full filled with fruit. And you just, Brother David, you just want to reach over there and tear that paper off of it and get you some of that fruit. Because it's alluring to you. It's drawing you to it.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you tonight, the sanctified saint of God is drawing to the onlooker. They want what we've got. They want what we talk about. They want what we sing about. I want to read that scripture again, those three. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. You cannot have your somebody's finger placed on your life. Now, it's wonderful to testify for somebody else. You know, brother, so-and-so, you can't put a finger on their life. But why can't they say that about me? I want to live so that I can catch a glimpse of that being said about me.
Yes.
Even though I don't want it to boast in me.
Yes.
But God help me to live that even though I may not hear it, somebody is saying that. Sanctification. I remember the story of Brother Earl Hall. I don't suppose y'all may not knew the brother. He's gone on to be with the Lord many years ago. But they said Brother Earl Hall, he pastored a Church of God in the Mobile area. The church grew tremendously under his pastoral labors. He was a godly man, a holiness man. And they said he preached sanctification quite often. Brother Hall and a preacher friend that had shared the story with me was going down through, I suppose, Mobile, Alabama one day, and they stopped at a red light. The light, he was behind another car that was in, the car was in front of him and the light was red and they were sitting there. And the light turned green and the car ahead of them, you ever been there? Just would not move fast enough. And he's been there. Would not move fast enough.
So
Brother Hall said something like, I do wish they would go on. So he had someone they was out visiting and they'd want to get on to the next place. He said that it wasn't too many blocks down that street. If I remember the story right, tears started coming down his face. And he said, Brother Hall said, Brother, we got to stop up here and pray. I got to get that out of me.
Yes.
All he said was, I wish they knew it would go on, but the Spirit tried to get on him. That wasn't akin to what he'd been preaching. That wasn't akin to what Jesus was praying for his people here. That wasn't akin to that. Oh, the sweetness of an attitude and a disposition of a sanctified person. You might fly off the handle, but I guarantee if you're sanctified, you'll be gathering that handle up pretty quick and asking God for some mercy and help you to tie. Scriptural standard for sanctification is servanthood to righteousness. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. This standard is calling for servanthood mentality toward the righteous things of God. It's calling for servanthood. What's a servant mentality? Willing to serve regardless of the chore. Willing to serve regardless of the cost that it cost. Willing to step into the realms of His righteousness regardless of the pressure. Regardless of what's coming, servant. Because we were servants to sin. We were servants to unrighteousness. And I promise you, we did what He wanted us to do. We danced to their music. We did everything just like the devil wanted. But now, we're servants to righteousness. Our standard for sanctification is how well we serve the righteous things of God. And then, the last that we mentioned tonight is scriptural standard of overcoming faith. And we know the Scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. We read where Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We read where Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We read where Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his family. We read where Abraham was called the friend of God. Read where Sarah, yet too old, but yet finally believed God and gave birth to Isaac. And the list goes on and on and on in Hebrews chapter 11 of men and even women who believed God. Sanctification has its roots in our faith in God. For whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? What does overcoming faith have to do with sanctification? What was it abiding inside of Jesus that took him past that garden? He could have stopped at the garden. He could have stopped at the cross before he died. He called angels down to rescue him. But in this distressful time, and in this time of prayer, Jesus says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart that I can do something that will affect them for years to come. Amen. That I can affect generations through with salvation. Right. I sanctify myself. I set myself apart. I purify myself as the Paschal Lamb of God. Overcoming faith gives evidence that I've come to that standard in my life of overcoming faith. It shows this world that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not just believing a system of belief. I'm believing in the Son of God. My faith verifies that I have been changed. My faith verifies that I have been set apart. My faith bonifies that I'm pure, that I'm clean, that I'm holy. The way I exercise my faith gives evidence to how much apart I have been set. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. John said in chapter 4, backing up, in verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Scriptural standards of sanctification. You want to know somebody sanctified? See how rich their faith is.
Yeah.
You want to see if somebody's sanctified? See how much love they have. You want to test the sanctification of your heart? See how separate you are and how clean you're living. Do a personal examination of your disposition. Are you servants of righteousness, or is it a duty? You know, a servant realizes that it's this and I have no way of changing it. But you know, sometimes some folks does things as if they could, they'd change it later on. And they don't really do it with their heart. Well, I'm going to church tonight. If I don't, the pastor will be on my case. I'm going to have to get in there and do something. And sometimes the pastor begs folks to get in here. Let's get in. Oh, but if I was a servant that knew my master loved me, and I love my master. It's kind of like working on a job for somebody that's an overseer or foreman that you really like. Like the story goes that I've heard it myself. It's not a story, but individual was talking about their boss and their former boss. Speaking of the present boss, he said, "I don't care if I do anything for him." He said, "But so-and-so, I'll work my socks off for him." Why? Because he loved the former boss. He respected him. The former boss showed more respect to him. Won't nobody show you respect like Jesus does. Hallelujah. So I'm going to, as the old saying goes, work my socks off for him. If they crawl down and gather up in my toes, as the songwriter said, I'm going to keep on working till he comes, till he comes. Would you stand? Praise the Lord. An overcoming faith begins to reveal the evidence that person's been set apart.